It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Okay, hello again, everybody. Welcome. It is a full day here on the Patrick Johnson Show. ECU heavy day, though we do have some news perhaps related to East Carolina. Tomorrow coming up, starting tomorrow and Friday, and while it will be something we feature, it won't be the main thrust of our show, but we believe in it here, and that is coming up tomorrow. It is the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon to benefit the Maynard Children's Hospital. It's an annual event that has been put on by 107.9 way back before IBX Media owned the station, and it has continued proudly as a tradition once we got involved with 107.9 under the ownership of IBX Media Group. So that'll be going on tomorrow. It'll start on Talk of the Town and the 107.9 WNCT. Was thinking about the station and its incarnation years ago when this started. It'll all start there in the morning. They'll be going on throughout the day. Of course, Drive Time will be big tomorrow, and we'll be a part of that, talking with folks from the Children's Hospital tomorrow. So hope that you'll find it within your heart to give something. I know it's tough times right now, but that is a hospital that serves 29 counties in eastern North Carolina. And if it has not been anything that you've had to use for your child, I'm sure you know someone that has had to use the facilities there if a child is sick or has an injury. A horrific injury, that sort of thing. It is a first-class place. Carter Cunningham, of course, has created the home runs with hope, or home runs with a purpose. I'm sure I'll be lambasted for not knowing the name of it. Point is, Carter Cunningham is raising money for the Maynard Children's Hospital with home runs at home this year. So it's a worthy cause, to say the least. And if you feel within your heart to give and you want to give right now, you can go to the IBX Media app. There's a button on there where you could donate. And, I mean, $5, $10, it doesn't take a whole lot. It adds up very, very quickly. So that is part of what we'll have tomorrow. Mike Mullis will also be with us. We'll have Brian Mull on Friday. Have a lot planned for you then. So it is a busy time this time of year, and a lot of guests coming up. I have a lot of guests with books, including Bethany Bradshaw, that want to come on. So we're going to be talking to some of them next week. I think Andrew Bays is going to be with us one day next week before the spring game. So a busy time, as you can imagine. Philip the Ref Pilkington is here with me today on a day where we have Kevin Williams and ECU women's golf coming off a victory individually and as a team. Of course, the men's program also coming off a victory here last time out. And so Kevin Williams, longtime golf coach and just one of the great guys, will join us. Another great guy is Kurt Kraft. He'll be with us today from the windy working man's beach, where I am today.
Do it live!
And we are. We are
doing live.
Yes, we are doing it live today. All right, Philip the Ref Pilkington is alongside. We'll get to a Pirate report here in a couple of moments and some other news. But Pilk, how is life? How's everything going? What have I missed today with all of my Zoom meetings and conference calls and appointments today?
Not too much. Obviously, the new commissioner was appointed. You know, you kind of already referenced that. Brandon Johnson is the first ECU player that I'm aware of that hit the portal that has found a new home. He's going to Miami. So I think he and Jim Larrañaga could be a good fit. You know, Larrañaga has, and this is no disrespect to Brandon, but he always seems to do the most with the least. And that's, you're not saying that Brandon's a bad player, but when you look at the rest of the quality of the ACC, I don't think that he's at the level of some of those other guys. And I think it could be a good fit for him down there. So we'll see. Other than that, a lot of baseball going on. Your Cubbies don't play till 8 o'clock. So
the McDonald's All American game, and in the girls game, the young lady from North Pitt,
Zamaria Jones. Pill. Zamaria.
Zamaria Jones. Zamaria Jones had 13. The other girl from North Carolina hit a double-double, and she's going to announce, I guess, sometime next week or in the coming weeks where she's going to go. But, of course, Jones is going to NC State. So good for her. I watched a few minutes of the men's game, and the play-by-play guy got obnoxious, so I just went to bed. After I watched a fabulous game between Indiana State and Utah, and Schertz is the guy who's the coach there. I did one of their games for SAC Live a few years ago, and when he was at Lincoln Memorial for the Rail Splitters, and I was sitting there. Got off the phone with him. I talked to him Friday night coming in to play the game on Saturday. They were bussing down, and I talked to him, and I got off the call, and I thought to myself, this guy's an ace. This guy should be coaching at a bigger level. He's been at Indiana State where they've gone from like 11 wins to 23 wins to now like 31 or 2 wins, most wins since the Larry Joe Bird days. And Alava, the kid with the rec specs, awesome player. Stretch four. They pass the ball so well. It's really a treat to watch them. They will play Seton Hall in the NIT final tomorrow, and I, for one, am stoked about it. April hoops, always a lot of fun. Pilk, you brought up Brandon Johnson going to Miami out of the portal, and I'll talk about that in a moment. You know who else hit the portal today?
So were Bronny James hit the portal today. Is that who we're referencing?
Well, last night that was the report. Right. No, Damian Dunn.
The Kinston guy. He's his second time in the portal. He's leaving Houston. I did see that.
So he averaged something like 13.5, 14.5, 15.5 in successive seasons at Temple. Temple may have won the conference championship had he stayed in the tournament.
Yeah.
Because he would have been a star on that team. He was already a star, but he'd have been a big-time star. He went to Houston where he only averaged 6.5 and played more as a reserve sparingly. He had 17 against Longwood in their tournament game, but that was a blowout. And he's more of an offensive guy. Now, he only played like 10 or 12 minutes against Duke in the Sweet 16 and scored a couple points. I don't even remember him in that game. That's how little of an impact that he had at Houston. And, look, right now, if you're East Carolina, Malangas, still with you. You have Callum Richard. I continue to say Callum Richard could be a contributor to you in some way. Maybe if not immediately, certainly in the future as he gets in the weight room. He's only going to be somebody who gets better. He's not ever going to necessarily be a star, I don't think, but he will be someone that can be in your post rotation and you don't drop off. You need 7-footers in the American. And, Cam Hayes is back. We'll see what happens with RJ Felton. I talked to somebody today close with the ACC, an ACC team. Very close with an ACC team. Do you know what the going rate is for the NIL for basketball players in the ACC? And I'm not talking at Duke or North Carolina or Virginia even. You want to know what it is, Pilk?
It's got to be, a quarter of a million?
It is. It's 250. So I don't know that that's what Brandon Johnson got, but the assumption is safe to assume that he got somewhere in that neighborhood. And good on him. I have no problem with Brandon Johnson getting paid. It's the rules of the game now. And I know Matt Slate's been doing a lot of media today. He was on Igo's show. He was on Talk of the Town earlier. We'll either have the encore of that for you sometime next week, or we'll try to get him on one day next week to talk about it. But, on this morning, Henry said, is Keats going to be able to, he's losing everything. Yeah, he's losing everything, but he's going to be able to reload in the portal because now they're going to have even a bigger commitment to NIL because they're coming off the Final Four and guys are going to go play there. Until the NIL, and I'm not besmirching anybody with Team Boneyard. I'm sure I'll get a text or an email. But, across the board, until our fan base wakes up and realizes this is a growth sport, this is an opportunity to get to a postseason, as crazy as that may sound, because you can reload the roster, and it doesn't take as many guys as it does in football.
It doesn't, and there are plenty of schools that are in the same prestigiousness of conference as East Carolina who've already canceled their NIL collectives. Look at Coastal Carolina. I know they're not a basketball powerhouse, but my point is they can't be the only ones that are canceling, and they're the way the tournament is set up for the 68 teams and how they distribute those 68 bids. It's not only going to be Blue Bloods playing in the tournament. Yeah, we're never going to be at the level of Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. But
you don't have
there's
to
a
be.
Potential. You don't have to be.
Is NC State at their level? I know no. They have a couple national championships decades ago.
Yeah.
I know they have a Final Four decades ago. Yeah.
No,
I mean, they haven't done anything in more than a generation. Clemson? That's a blue blood in basketball. I get they're in the ACC and they have that money. I totally get that. But you know what Clemson did this year? I mean, Clemson, from what I understand, possibly missed out on BJ because Brownell, and I love Brad Brownell. I've known Brad for a number of years, and I think he's a tremendous coach, but he likes to be a ball coach. He's old school. He hasn't embraced this NIL concept from the standpoint of there's somebody we could have gotten out of the portal that would help us. And he, as I understand it, maybe wouldn't make the calls to anybody because he was concentrating on getting to the Final Four. And I get it. I get it. I mean, good on him. He did a great job this year with roster construction and management at Clemson and then coaching the team. Until we realize, okay, I don't say put $1 million in it, but I mean, put some serious money in the NIL. If I don't know what's going to happen with RJ, but I mean, the type of money RJ could command in the open market of NIL, I mean, you might get a hometown discount, but you need to take care of him, and you need to be an. I mean, Dunn would be a great addition to an ECU roster that needs offense.
He would be.
Because that's what he is. He's an offensive. That's why he didn't play that much in Houston. He's an offensive player, not a defensive player.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
But to your point, though, what we need to be, look, five teams got in the tournament out of the Mountain West this year. We're not going to be San Diego State, who was a projected one line in 2020 before COVID and in the Final Four last year. But there's no reason we can't be a Colorado State, Boise State, New Mexico, or Utah State. Why can't we be a 10 or an 11 seed? Why not?
Well, I mean, and again, that's a great illustration there of that conference. Is I wouldn't put it ahead of the American on any level, in any sport, across the board. Now this year, yes, they did get a handful into basketball, and they've decided to take basketball seriously. And there's other places in the American. I'm not just saying it's East Carolina, but until there's some seriousness about what we're going to do with making sure basketball and Mike Swartz has what he needs to go out and get the quality of guys to come in and play. I mean, this is where you're kind of all the chips are in to rebuild through the portal. You have no choice. So are you going to get guys that nobody else wanted, or are you going to be competitive and maybe get some guys like a Damian Dunn? And I don't know if Mike wants him. But, I mean, just sitting from my seat right here, it looks that would make a lot of sense, to me at least. ECU baseball rolled. We may do a Pirate report later on since I talked through the monologue here. As we mentioned, Brandon Johnson, headed to Miami, commanded a pretty penny from what I understand, and good on him. And I just hope we'll start to, as excited as a lot of people are in the area about NC State, and it's a cool story. You know, how much cooler would it be if East Carolina got into the tournament and won a game? And again, it's not that far-fetched. I know you're sitting there thinking, oh, come on. They've never won. You can flip the roster now easier in basketball than in any other sport. You don't need a ton of impact guys. You need two or three, and they're going to cost you, but you just got to get there. Got to get there. And I think Swartz can get in on some of these guys. He's just got to have the account has to be with some funds in it to do it. And a lot of people have responded to that. Not enough, but a lot of people have responded to that. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. I want to talk ECU golf, and we'll do so with Kevin Williams. We'll talk ECU track and field later, and then hit a Pirate report later on and talk ECU's win against NC State, which was done in convincing fashion. We'll be back with more of the Patrick Johnson Show right after...
We have you covered with all the ECU news and beyond that you need for the drive home. The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
P-Man Show on this Wednesday, midweek, hump day, all downhill from here. FAU beat Miami last night, Bill, in baseball.
Hey, maybe we'll get a little conference prestige. Not.
But, I mean, that's not going to be easy this weekend.
No, it's not.
Pirates won on the links in women's golf yesterday, and Kevin Williams is one of the good guys, great friend, and he's the ECU director of golf, has done a fantastic job. So at the Ironwood Intercollegiate, or is it the Invitational? Well, we'll ask Kevin. He'll get it clear for us. But the Pirates won, and they had an individual winner. Kevin, great to talk to you. Congratulations on what has been a little bit of success for both the men and the women here lately.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate you having me on. It was a great weekend, actually. It was we had our men's event at Cutter Creek that we co-host with Elon Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the men came out on top, beat a very good Elon team, and a very good Davidson team has been red hot this spring. So very happy about that. Lucas Augustin won his fourth tournament as a Pirate, which was cool. And then, you know, to follow it up, Monday and Tuesday, our women's invitational at Ironwood, we win the tournament title and also capture the individual title with freshman Nicole Nash. And that part was special to me for the women because we've really struggled. The program has the last 2 years. And I think the girls felt a little beat up with just not having much success. And so it was really, really, really good to see their emotion and their joy for winning yesterday. So I was very happy for the program.
It was the Ironwood Invitational, and Nash, as you said, won. It was a 54-hole event. She played very, very well. 2 under. I'd take her on my team any day of the week. so, you know, pretty good. Let me ask you a little bit about her. Young lady that you said is a freshman and obviously is a piece that you feel like can build upon and wind up perhaps being a great player here because I know you, that program, as you said, has taken some lumps, but you are trying to turn it with really competitive players.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Buford, who was here before, she recruited Nicole Nash and Ella Stavi, two freshmen we have now. Both have a lot of potential. Both are very good girls. And, you know, it's one of those things, you may not recruit them, but they're yours when you take over.
Right.
And they came in the same time we came in, really, is how I look at it. And both have made a big impact for us. Nicole, I think, has shown a lot of promise. She's got a great mind. She's got a little bit of an edge about her, like kind of cocky, and which is good to have. You know, a lot of times they're beating themselves up too much, and she tends to kind of keep that level pretty high as far as feeling good about her game and her confidence level. And that's really good to see, especially in golf. You know, it's such a mental game. But I mean, she's an unbelievable story, Patrick. I'm not sure if we have enough time for it now, but the story's
going to
come out.
Tell us.
Well, the summer before her junior year of high school, which is a big summer as far as getting recruited, getting noticed by coaches in any sport, really. And, she got hit in the head with a golf ball. And
oh gosh.
I'm not going to pretend to know the whole story, but, she had to learn how to talk again. She was in the hospital for a long time. She had a metal plate in her head. Grady Dillon and I were talking, Ryan Robinson, Malcolm Gray. I mean, we need to get the story out. It's a pretty neat story anyway, regardless of winning the golf tournament, that she's even playing college athletics, but to, win a tournament. And I guess 2.5 years, you know, almost 3 years since that accident happened.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I tell you, this past summer, I went out to watch her play for the first time. I hadn't seen her play. Took over in May, the women's program after Coach Buford left. and wanted to see Nicole and Ella, the two incoming freshmen, play. And I saw her in Pinehurst, and I sent a video of her to Jody Tindall, who was the assistant coach last year for the women's program. Mm-hmm. And Jody couldn't get over how much bigger she was. Now, if you saw her, Patrick, she's still tiny, but Jody couldn't believe how much more muscle she had, et cetera. And she's not a big girl, but she hits it really far, which is cool. And you got to have in the game nowadays. I think it links just whichever side you're on, the men's or the women's, is such a big part of the game now. And, you know, they're trying to dial back the golf ball at the professional level just because it's going so far. But the athletes are stronger, it's bigger, faster, et cetera. And, but yeah, just to see where she's come from in such a short time, she was not heavily recruited. A lot of it was because her development got pushed back because of the accident. And she came in, you know, just, I would say, under the radar. And, she came in with that little chip I told you, and she, you know, people weren't talking about her, and she's like, well, hey, I'm going to start. And sure enough, she did right from the get go. She has played for us, and, it's nice to have someone who has that edge about them. And, she fits in with Pirates, right? That little chip on your shoulder, you know, I'm better than you think I am type deal. And, it's really played out well for this freshman year.
That's an amazing story. I want to ask you too about your grad student, Oda Sophie Kilstey, who, I think was a member of the all tournament team. Grad student for you. And, how has she played for you this season? I think she was the last player to win before Nash did for the program.
Yeah, I think she won back in 2021. Neat story with Oda. I recruited Oda. She signed. I leave before the start of her freshman year to go to the University of South Carolina, so I never got to coach her. Come back and hear her last year, her fifth year. She had the 1 year of eligibility left. I finally get to coach her. She's the fourth best stroke average in school history, program history, which is really good. And the last 2 years, she was our best player. She would tell you it's been a struggle this year. This was only her third event that she started this year. We came in, we said, we got to be more competitive. We're going to throw the balls out there, and you have to play for your spot in the lineup at a tournament. And so we basically would qualify the five people that start and travel. We would play for it. Whatever you shot at home in certain golf courses, that dictated whether you traveled or not. And, you know, with the two freshmen coming in, we were more competitive. And the girls weren't used to that because there really wasn't as much competition on the team the last couple of years. And, so Oda struggled in qualifying, right? And, but we know what she's capable of doing. She kills the ball. I mean, her club head speed is amazing. And, yesterday, for instance, on the 18th hole, we moved the tee up. I was playing 230 yards. She was trying to decide between a 3-wood and a hybrid.
Wow.
I mean, 230 yards, and it's all carry. So she was trying to decide. So that tells you how long she hits it. But I told her the other night in front of the team and some parents, I said, you know, it hasn't been the year you expected or we expected. I said, but it's pretty cool for me to be able to coach you your final year. I said, and although your golf hasn't been great, your attitude the whole year has been amazing. She could have, like, packed it in and everything else, but she kept fighting.
Yeah.
And then she got back in the lineup and then obviously taking advantage of it. And we look forward to her helping us in a couple of weeks at a conference championship.
Augustin, on the men's side, as we're talking to ECU Director of Golf, Kevin Williams, part of the 24 under at the event in Snow Hill. Lucas, 9 under for the day and, just continues to get better and better. And I mean, he's a sophomore, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong. And he's already, surpassed, a couple of pretty good players, including, the great, friend of ours, John McGinnis, to get into, the all-time or to be the all-time wins leader for his career. I mean, when you hear that he's got victories and he's the all, I mean, you're thinking, okay, HV3's in there somewhere. But, you know, Guinness you knew would be. And then I was, I can't remember the other guy off of the top of my head. But, I mean, that's, he's passed some pretty good players at this juncture in his young career.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, he's a guy that checks all the boxes. He's athletic. He's strong. He's smart. Very analytical, Patrick, but he plays with feel. He doesn't, you know, he tries to work the ball. A lot of times analytical players, you know, number one, they overthink it, right? And then the other piece is they just try to play a certain way. The nice thing with Lucas is he really analyzes it, studies the numbers, studies game plans with how he wants to attack a golf course. But then he's really good at adjusting to the situation, which is, that's hard. Usually you don't see that. He's an excellent putter. I think he's put a lot of pressure on himself this spring. He got invited by the Swedish national team to their training camp in November. And
you
can just tell that kind of, which is pretty big stuff. And so that kind of turned the heat up a little bit on him, you know, from an expectation standpoint. And, you know, maybe your expectations are a little bit out of whack versus just focusing on the process and playing golf. And, you know, and he struggled early on. And I think now that he's, you know, realized that he just has to, you know, worry about the process. Don't try to control the results, right? And by controlling the results, he's thinking he might get in, you know, some bigger tournaments this summer, et cetera. And, you know, you really can't focus on that stuff. All you can focus on is the shot at hand, the day at hand.
Yeah.
And I think since he realized he actually struggled at Auburn. And I think that's when he shot 82 the first round in Auburn's tournament. And I think that's when he realized I've got to go back to being who I was and how I got to win in three college tournaments already. And then to shoot 64 the second round at Cutter Creek. He loves that place. I'm telling you, we had qualifying in the fall for our first tournament of the year. He shoots 61 at Cutter Creek from the back tee.
Oh my gosh.
Which is the course record.
Jeez.
Yeah, 11 under. So he's not scared to go low, which is pretty much, it's a lot of fun to watch, actually.
Last thing for you here, Kevin, and we appreciate the time. As you look, you know, towards this role as the director of golf, how has that allowed you to better assist both programs or better build both programs?
Well, I just think, you know, I've been doing it a long time, right? And but it starts with the fact, I think, you know, Mike Cato, who you know very well, is one of our assistants on the staff. And then Catherine Carson, who played for me, is on the staff. And I think after the fall, when we kind of analyzed what happened, we decided to make a little bit of a shift. Instead of us three coaching two teams as a combined staff, we defined our roles better. Mike, you focus strictly on the men's team. Catherine, you focus strictly on the women's team. That way there's some continuity and consistency on both sides, right? And then I'm the guy that's bouncing back and forth and, you know, kind of steering the ship, so to speak. And I think those guys are doing a great job on the day-to-day piece of it. It's kind of interesting. Somebody said Monday, said, aren't you tired? You just had three tournaments back-to-back. I said, listen, I tell the players all the time, it's the competition that's fun. So we had competition Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I was loving that. That's the fun part. You know, the grind, class, practice, all that stuff.
Well, you love it anyway. And I would think, you know, your extensive, and not that Cato doesn't have this, but I mean, just your extensive work as a pro, because you're dealing with different skill levels, but you're also dealing with a different set of problems. I mean, being able to bounce back and forth, because not, you know, there's not a one size fits all to solution to all of that. Right. That to me would be, it's playing to your strength. In other words, it seems like.
Yeah. And I think too, like we're from Mike, you know, I was a golf pro once, like he was and still is a PGA member like me, but coaching is so different, right? And you've got to learn, you know, I tell people all the time, the toughest part of coaching is knowing when not to say anything, right? I mean, you know, to kind of get out of the way and let your players play and, you know, give them the reins, right? You turn them loose, right? Just let's go. Let's turn them loose. You've done the practice. You're prepared. Just let them go. And I think that's the toughest part. But we're very lucky to have Mike and Catherine, and I think we've worked really well together. We've got a lot of respect between the three of us, and you know, in history. And history makes a big difference because you know what everybody's kind of thinking, and I think that helps the kids a lot. And, you know, this is my 27th year coaching. So, yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, you know, as I tell the team, I said, I've seen it all, so don't think you're going to show me something I haven't seen.
Hey, Kevin, great to talk to you. Thanks for hopping on with us. Congrats on the recent success. And, look, winning golf tournaments is hard. So, winning them.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. But, I mean, you know, whether you're at home or not, winning a golf tournament is winning a golf. It's not easy. Thank you very much. Great to talk to you, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you, buddy. Have a good night.
All right, there he goes, the great Kevin Williams with us. Philip the Ref Pilkington is checking in now at the 94.3 The Game Sports Update and Pirate Report. We've got a new commissioner in the AAC. Pilk will have those deets, and we also will have Kurt Kraft, ECU Track and Field, when we come back right after this. But right now, here's Philip with an update. Pilk?
Thank you, P-Man. Starting in the American Athletic Conference, Tim Peretti has been named the second ever commissioner of the AAC. He will take over after this school year ends when the first commissioner, Mike Oresko, retires from his position. Peretti has previously been the president of IMG Academy down in Florida, as well as the athletic director at Rutgers. The Pirate baseball team made it 5 in a row last night with a 12-4 win over NC State. They will put that 5-game win streak on the line this weekend when they travel down to Boca Raton to take on the FAU Owls, who Patrick previously mentioned defeated the Miami Hurricanes last night. All those games can be heard right here on 94.3 The Game. Last night, softball also grabbed a win as they knocked off Campbell 3-1. They will be back in action this weekend at Max R. Joyner Family Stadium to host UTSA. Remember, admission is free all season long. Former Pirate basketball player Brandon Johnson is committed to play his final year of eligibility at Miami. And former Kinston guard Damian Dunn has entered the transfer portal. He started his career at Temple, then was at Houston last year, so he will be on to his third school shortly. And there was a big move made today in the NFL as the Bills sent 30-year-old wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Texans for a second-round pick. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. On the other side of this timeout, we will be joined by the head men's and women's track and field coach, Kurt Kraft, to promo their upcoming meet this weekend, the Bill Carson Invitational.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
Okay, ready?
You ready?
Streaming to the world at 94.3thegame.com. This is the Patrick Johnson Show. Now, in all his glory, here's the P-Man.
All right, let's welcome in a longtime friend of the program, ECU Track and Field Coach Kurt Kraft, who joins us here telephonically for the PJ Show today. Coming up in just a few days, 48 hours from now, less than that, will be the beginning of the Bill Carson Invitational. It'll be April 5th and the 6th, a major track and field event, starting with the field events on Friday at 10 a.m. And then the field events will begin at 12:30 on Saturday with the track events beginning at 10 in the morning and culminating with the women's and men's 4x4. In the 5 o'clock hour. So a full day of track and field action. Coach Kurt Kraft joins us here to talk a little bit about it. Unlike some other weekends, Kurt, when you've had this, looks like weather-wise, while it will be chilly, you at least don't have any of the precip to deal with.
Patrick, that is exactly right. Thank you for having me on, by the way. I hope you didn't jinx the weather. You know, we're looking at 60 degrees with sunny skies and a little bit of wind, Patrick. But no, we're good. We're excited about the weekend, and this is a big event for us, a really big event for us. And like I said, every year the kids look forward to competing at home in front of their parents and in front of their professors and their teammates. So this is our I always call it Christmas in April. But we're excited to host the event.
Coach, who's participating this year along with ECU? I know it's always a field that has a lot of regional appeal. So who else will be there?
Yes, sir. We got We got the Citadel coming. We got Mount Olive coming. Our neighbor over here, Mount Olive. Also UNCW. We're always friendly to them. St. Augs is going to send a contingency of people. And then last but not least, NC State is going to send a partial group. So, you know, with those teams, Patrick, it makes up a nice meet. I call it a buffet. There's enough there for everybody to be competitive in any of the events. So, as you said, Friday, we're here all day. It kicks off at 10 a.m. We'll conclude about 5, and that's with the hammer, the javelin, and the discus. And then we kick off on Saturday morning, 10 a.m., our senior day. And that's something we always look forward to. But
okay.
10 a.m. on Saturday, yep. And we conclude around 5 o'clock.
How many seniors, Coach?
Man, Patrick, thanks for asking that. We got a large group of seniors this year, if you can believe it. We've got 26 seniors. We've got 16 women, and we've got 10 men. So we lose a nice contingency of people, both on the men's side and the women's side. And that's that was the tough part about college coaching. You know, you have to recruit and you have to fill in those spots. You know, just a couple on the Melissa Muzan. She's a name that comes up all the time.
I want to ask you about her. So let's go there since you brought her up. Has records for your program, couple of indoor records, couple of outdoor records, and she's having a tremendous season and maybe at least as far as program records go, the fastest woman in ECU track and field history.
No question, Patrick. She just broke the 100-meter, 200-meter record this past weekend at the Raleigh Relays. So she owns the outdoor 100, the outdoor 200, the indoor 60, and the indoor 200. So she holds all four sprint records. But she's not done. This is just the beginning, as they say, for her. You know, she has got... you know, she was a conference champion indoors in the 60. She was second in the 200. She was just named American Athletic Conference Female Track Athlete of the Year for the second time. She was named once indoors, and now she's been named once outdoors. I could go on and on about her, but, you know, she's going to be hard to replace. So we have to enjoy her and her services and what she's done for this program while she's still here. I believe that she's going to be a conference champ outdoors in one of the two events, or maybe both. I believe she's a regional qualifier. And last but not least, I think she goes all the way to Eugene, Oregon, in the middle of June. That's how good she is. Her counterpart, Royal Burris, is the counterpart on the male side. And Royal owns the indoor 300 record. Then he's also got, the outdoor, 200 record. So, Royal, too, is just a tremendous athlete. He's from Harding University High School out of Charlotte. So both of them are going to be competing this weekend.
Awesome. Kurt, Bill Carson, for those that may not know, the uninitiated, who is Bill Carson and why is the event named for him?
Yes, sir. Patrick, you've been around a long time. You've been very familiar with ECU athletics, and I believe maybe you've even crossed paths with Bill upon a time while he was here for at least four decades. I want to say north of four decades. The longtime coach here for the men for many, many years. I got the honor of working with him for 2 years. I worked with him for the 05, 06 season and the 06, 07 season, and then he stepped down and retired. And God bless the man. He passed away about 10 years ago. His wife still lives here in town. So I went to the athletic director at the time. I believe it was Jeff Comfer at the time. And I said, we need to name a meet in his honor. And here we are. So long story short, it's named after Bill Carson. His wife will be here. A number of his runners that ran for him always show up to this event each and every year. So that's who it's named after. And that's why it's named after him.
Kurt, last thing for you. As far as the rest of the season after the event, you invoked Eugene where the national championships will be played out again this year for yet another season, I think, after being in Texas last year. Or maybe it was in Florida. Anyway, point is, that's the goal. So what do you have before you after the, or after this event, what lays before the program?
Yep. You know, our season, it flies by like you wouldn't believe. That cross country season flies by in the fall, and then that indoor season is January and February, and here we are. So we've already competed in two meets. We went to High Point University 2 weeks ago. We went to the Raleigh Relays last week. We've got our home meet this weekend. We've got a meet at Duke following our meet, and then we conclude with a meet at Wake Forest. And then we have 2 weeks off and finals and all that good stuff. But our conference meet is at University of Texas San Antonio in the middle of May.
Okay.
And then we go on to regionals at Lexington, Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky at the end of May. And that's where the kids would qualify on to Eugene. So we do have a long ways to go, but it's going to be here before you know it.
Hey, Kurt, thank you for the time. Best of luck this weekend. It is the Bill Carson Invitational Friday and Saturday at the Bate Track and Field facility on campus beside the baseball stadium. Kurt, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Patrick, and everything you do.
Let's hit a break, come back, try to do a quick pirate report as the Diamondbacks hammered the Woofies last night.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
And then Mama took me to grammar school.
I clicked on a musical bed, and this is not a musical bed. I apologize.
No.
That was, yeah.
What on earth?
I don't know. Oops. Somebody mistitled this thing.
Foul.
That was
not
rough.
Fair, but foul. we've got a retweet of the statement from ECU Chancellor Philip Rogers on the new commissioner of the American, Tim Pernetti, who actually has Twitter. How about that? Pernetti, we'll try to get him on soon. It'd be good to talk to him and see what his vision is. So we've retweeted that at 943 The Game. Couple quick cuts in the aftermath of ECU's win last night. Coach Godwin on the play of Dixon Williams. Cut two.
Thought Dixon Williams was unbelievable tonight. Obviously, his first hit was two RBIs with two outs that put us on the board. But, man, that play he made in left field, and the game wasn't out of hand there. It would have really got them going probably if he doesn't make that play. He makes that play, then he made a play. The ball kind of hopped up on him, a double play ball, and the guy took Shaq out. Shaq still made the play. But the guy had to go back to second base, and just super proud of Dixon. And, you know, he played like we know he can play.
And let's hear from Dixon Williams now. He talked about the team's two-out hitting.
Going into it, we know, like, it's going to be a packed game, and we're going to have to get some big hits. And I think our guys did a great job of just, you know, like you said, we got the hits when we needed them.
More from Dixon Williams talking about his defensive play.
I mean, I knew Bristol was back a little bit, and so I just went after it hard, and then I kind of blacked out, to be honest. Just happened, I guess, fell in the glove. So yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, good catch. Dixon Williams on the celebratory mood of the locker room.
It's something special. These guys are great. And, like, I mean, we've been talking about it all year. This is the tightest knit group. And, man, it's fun to come up to the field every day, pretty much. That's all I can really say. We're just having a good time, and the wins kind of follow.
Good for Dixon. Big game for him. Aaron Groller also with a huge game. Three innings of hitless ball. And the Seton Hall transfer making his first Pirate start talked about taking the fight to NC State. That was the game plan early, and he did just that.
Talked about taking the fight to him from the first inning. Throw the first punch, and obviously our offense, all game long, just kept adding on to make some pitching shots on him.
Groller on the mindset when he found out he was going to start.
Close out the second inning. It's a bullpen game, so we're just trying to get three outs and move on to the next guy.
Groller was rolling, and he talked about his routine and how it may have been different, if at all, heading into the start.
Yeah, I started games my junior year, so I still kind of have that in my back pocket a little bit, but, I mean, just keeping it simple.
Yeah, that was it. He was sensational. Just watching him mow down NC State, keeping them off balance. Pack didn't play very well. I mean, in fairness, but you know, I mean, a win's a win, and a win for the first time since 09 in Raleigh is certainly a big deal for this East Carolina team that got their 21st victory last night. Again, coming up tomorrow, it is going to be our Children's Miracle Network Radiothon for the Maynard Children's Hospital. It'll be on all of our Interbanks media stations. I hope you'll find it within your heart and desires to donate a little something. It would be whatever is helpful, and it all stays right here. This is not going anywhere else out of state or to some sort of clearinghouse or national headquarters. This is a local hospital that is benefiting from local dollars, and we'll have stories for you tomorrow and have guests tomorrow regarding that. Mike Mullis will also be with us tomorrow, so that is coming up on the Patrick Johnson Show tomorrow. Good show today. Pilk, thank you. Great job as always. And other than that music, Ben?
Yeah, that was definitely the, I think, the low light of my career was that music, Ben.
It's the low light of recent times. Yeah, yeah. I would say that's the case.
Yeah,
certainly the low light of recent times. I'm sure you, the first time on the air, well, you were always okay on
the start. The first time Trent let me do a scoreboard on the postgame show, yeah, that was rough. I was nervous. Yeah.
And now you're a big network star. Thanks to Kevin Williams for being with us. Always great to catch up with him, and to Kurt Kraft from ECU Track and Field. Two great guys, two longtime Pirates. And it's great to have them on. All right, back at it tomorrow with Mike Mullis and our Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. And we'll also hear some from football media avail. All of that coming up. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow in the morning on Talk of the Town, and then back here on the Patrick Johnson Show. Don't forget East Carolina Weight Loss working for me. I'm strict this week, staying strict about it. They've helped tremendously. That's what I can really say. I mean, it's not easy, but they have helped tremendously. All right. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody.